Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
All right, let's talk about freedom of press. And it's sometimes very complex, specifically if you look at the situation that's taking place in Israel. They are investigating Qatargate. So in other words, they're investigating the Prime Minister's office, they're investigating the state itself. But whilst doing that, they have called in journalists and questioned journalists about some of their activities. So that kind of confuses me, because it isn't the state, but it's an arm of the state. But it's all in order. I don't know. I'm a bit confused. William Bird is the director of Media Monitoring Africa. He joins us this morning. William, good morning. You don't have an easy job, hey? It's very confusing sometimes.
Yeah, it's like walking an ethical tightrope all the time.
All the time.
But I guess that's the nature of being a journalist, or at least those that are trying to do their job.
Yeah. So how do governments best manage it? Because this case in Israel, where there are allegations against the Prime Minister's office and members of his team that he has, or members of his team have taken money from Qatar, could have impacted national interest. So there's an investigation taking place into the office of the Prime Minister. And in doing so, they've called in the editor of the Jerusalem Post to question him. Which is a strange one. Are there guidelines for this?
I mean, in general practices, there are. You know, journalists, you have to say, well, what is it that you would be calling a journalist in for? Because by and large, journalism is about taking what people want kept in the shadows or in dark closets and putting it out there for everyone to see. That, you know, works off the basic principle of sunshine's the best disinfectant.
Mm.
And so generally, journalists will say, well, whatever we can put in the public domain is in the public domain. I don't have anything else to add to that unless you're wanting to ask about my sources, in which case then I need to protect who my sources are. And that is a key kind of principle in any good level of investigative journalism. So it's a very unusual thing, and certainly usually when governments, you know, the world over do these kinds of things, it's almost always a tactic of intimidation. And it has a clear chilling effect on journalists. You know, no one wants to be doing a story where they think, if I do this, I'm going to be called in and I'm going to be investigated by, the security authorities. These are not people that you want to investigated by.
Right. Unless the problem is that journalists are not above corruption, and they are not above this. And certainly, if we've seen anything in Gaza, it's very often that there is, and certainly with regard to Hamas journalists, there's been a lot of interplay there, which brings the whole segment or industry or community into disrepute. So we don't have the same. To be honest, I don't think journalists deserve the same level of automatic respect as perhaps they used to. If I look at South African journalists, I'm appalled by what I've seen over the last couple of years here. So I would also hesitate to say, oh, no, you're a journalist, I can't touch you because you're above that sort of thing. They aren't.
No, I mean, I think that's the important thing, is that journalists aren't different to other people. Their rights are the same. I think, though, that when you're looking at journalists that are trying to expose corruption and wrongdoing and those sorts of things, they're going to be targeted, and it's then when they need that protection. So, I mean, you know, there's been a general decline of journalism globally in many, many respects due to a number of different factors. And certainly levels of trust and credibility in them are probably lower than they may ever have been. But the principle of that doesn't mean that we then throw that out. We say, okay, we may not trust this, but the default is we do necessarily need to be deeply skeptical and deeply concerned if the state is going in and calling in journalists. In just the same way, if you're a business person and you're involved in dodgy dealings, you know, the state must catch you using legitimate methods of how they catch someone who's involved in corruption. And it's no different for if that person was a journalist or not. I think that is a difference here, is that if you've got a journalist where you know they're working on something that's explosive. I mean, think about it in relation to the Gupta leaks in South Africa. We saw all manner of efforts used to deliberately undermine the integrity of those journalists that were writing those stories, attack them, attack their credibility, undermine the media that they were working for. Those are kind of standard tactics of people that have a lot to lose. And I guess that's part of how you answer this difficult question. You say, are the people that are investigating or calling, you know, and doing things that may be shady, are they the ones, what do they have to gain and what do they have to lose in doing that? Because when you start investigating a government, what they need to be doing is, ideally, they should be saying, okay, let's go, let's have public hearings, public inquiries, whatever we need to do to get this out into the open. We also want to expose any form of corruption. The minute they start saying, well, we're going to go after the journalists because we want to know where this story came from, we need to investigate leaks, that's when invariably you know that there's something that's either that politician or that party or those people have something to hide.
And we can never really underestimate the important and critical role that journalists in South Africa played during the Gupta period. It was the really two main factors. It was journalists and a free judiciary, the Constitutional Court, that together exposed that which the ANC were dealing with, or that the corruption of the ANC. So we see an example of the critical work that journalists are doing. And I guess what you're saying is we just got to balance that very, very carefully, because if we lose that, we lose something of vital importance.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you think about some of the other ones that weren't quite as big as that, but also where people had a lot to lose, you know, Mandy Rousseau exposed the Nkandla story, and that was a huge thing. Now, imagine if they'd gone and started investigating her. We saw under the and when Claudia Motsoeneng was heading the SABC, that journalists that were trying to whistleblow and reveal what was going on there were deliberately targeted. They had their lives threatened. You know, all sorts of things were going on, and those were journalists who were standing up because they were trying to report on what was going on there. And I guess, you know, that's what happens. So whenever journalists are investigated, wherever they're from, whichever media house, if they are one that you support or one that you don't, the thing is always to be deeply suspicious and deeply skeptical of who it is that's wanting to investigate them and why. And then, you know, if they're going to do that, then you need to make sure that they are following all the basic elements of due process and making sure that everything's out in the open. Because if they aren't, then you probably know that they've got some other motive.
Absolutely. William Byrd, Director of Media Monitoring Africa, thank you for that. Have a great day. The press versus the state, it's not a simple one at all, and we wanted to just get a little bit more of an understanding about how it works. It's 8:31.